When we read the book of Revelation, at times people mistaken it to be some kind of future or historical event. The same way goes for Genesis. When people read Genesis, people think that Genesis, the account in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are probably historical accounts of the creation of the world and all of that. You see, in our humanity, we have been so much reduced and constrained to the time factor. And we have lost all awareness of that thing called eternity, a dimension, a realm called eternity. A realm that never changes. A realm that always is. And that is our realm. That is our dimension. It is wrong to think that Genesis 1 or Genesis 2 is an account of the creation of man, or the creation of you and I. Because in reality, we have always been. In reality, we are. And we've always been. These things are hard to comprehend, because the human mind has been so degraded to a level where it lives in relation to corruptibility. It lives in relation to a world that, you know, changes with time, and it's a world that is influenced with different conditions here and there. But like I said, that is not our world, that is not our realm. See, we are from eternity. And we have always been, we are, and we will always be. But there must be an awakening to this reality. The book of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and the book of Revelation are books that deal with the unseen of this timeless creature within man. It is the unsealing of God in man. Just think of it. On the first day, it says that darkness was upon the face of the earth. You see, the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Now, where did the waters come from? Where did the earth come from? And God said, let there be light. And days later, we see God saying, God creating the stars, the sun, the moon, and all that. So what is that light that shines in day one? Because we know today that in this physical world, the physical bodies in the sky give light in this natural dimension. So you can see here that the account of Genesis is a purely spiritual account. It's very much like the book of Revelation. We can call it a spiritual revelation. The book of Revelation given to Moses or whoever wrote that, those early chapters in Genesis. It's not an historical account of the creation of the world. Rather, it's a spiritual book revealing the unsealing of the creature of God in man. Bear in mind that out of that darkness and out of that void, which represents humanity, which represents the darkened comprehension of man, man who is alienated from the life of God, separated from God, a man who has the veil of the flesh over his comprehension, so that he's not able to understand the substance by which he is made. So out of that darkness, that formlessness, that chaotic situation in Genesis chapter 1, God begins to open the seals here, and he begins to bring out of it that treasure of great price that is buried in this darkness. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. It's all about redeeming man and causing man to awaken into that likeness. Because in reality, all men are God. All men are Him. If you do not know this, it means that we are asleep. Praise God. It means that we are deep asleep. God has caused the light to shine. You see, the light of the world is all about comprehension, understanding. See, this light, this understanding, gives us the revelation of the Son of God that is locked up within this vessel of clay. Praise God. Hallelujah. He has given as many as can comprehend this light. Who can believe this light? Who can embrace this light? He has given them power to become sons of God. Sons of God, not flesh and blood, but sons of God. Offspring of God. He has given us the power to regain ourselves, to be reinstated back into the place of all power. Praise God. When God says, let us create man in our image and in our likeness, He simply does this by awakening man from his deep slumber. This is what he was demonstrating in Genesis chapter 2. When he breathed the formed man out of the earth and he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Now we must understand that that dust out of which man came out, that dust represents humanity. That dust, emptiness, something low, something like garbage, something like trash, represents man in his slumber. That is how we are perceived in the spirit realm when we walk ignorant of who we are. We are like dust, vanity. See, the whole world, the inhabitants of the world and everything therein is like dust from the eyes of the spirit. It's nothingness. When we walk as men in the vanities of the carnal mind, we are dust. With no purpose, no eternal purpose in life, just sowing onto the wind and reaping the wind, and you just pass through this world, and if you don't have, there's nothing. That dust out of which Adam was drawn out is that formless situation, that darkened situation, that chaotic situation, that wilderness situation that you see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But God breathed into him, that's the Holy Ghost, that is comprehension, that is understanding, that is imparting the deep things of God and awakening man to the reality that he is of the same substance with God. Hallelujah. God breathed into him. God is breathing upon his people in this hour. The Holy Ghost, without measure, poured out upon all flesh, so that the men begin to see visions and they begin to prophesy. What are they seeing and what are they prophesying about? They are seeing the vision of the end. They are seeing the vision of themselves in their Father's kingdom. They are seeing the vision of Christ, their true identity in God. And they prophesy. When we hear messages like this, we are prophesying. We are speaking by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Deep things from God. Things that cannot be comprehended by man. Praise God. When God breathed into Adam, it's not an historical account of how man was created. Because we were never created. We have always been. We are. We simply are. Hallelujah. It can only be an awakening. Jesus Christ says the hour comes when those who are in their graves hear the voice. They will receive the breath of the Son of Man. And those who align themselves with it, by those who have done good, by aligning themselves with the voice of God, by agreeing with this voice, will awaken to life. Hallelujah. All this is happening right now in people as they hear the word of God. It's not an historical account of the creation of man, because we have always been. Praise God. As the breath of God enters into man, it brings remembrance of Christ. Hallelujah. It awakens man to the reality of his world. Because this is not our world. Our world is not this natural, terrestrial, you know, place that we live in. Our world is not in time and in space. Our world is in God's kingdom, a world without the barriers of time and space. We are from infinity, we are from eternity. Praise God. As men receive this voice, as men receive this breath of God, as men receive illumination from above, quickly from above, they begin to awaken into a new world, into God's world. They are awakening into a dimension of bliss. They are awakening into a garden where their soul is saturated in the presence of the omniscient God, the omnipresent God. Hallelujah. Because those who are waking to the reality that His presence is as the waters that, you know, cover the sea. And His presence, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Praise God. The Garden of Eden is the realm of those who are awakened to who they truly are. Praise God. So we can see that those 7 days of creation is very much like breaking the seven seals. The book of Revelation talks about seven seals. Seven seals. In reality, the book of Revelation is all about seven seals, and these seven seals have to be opened, have to be broken. And as these seals are loosened and opened, that Son of God within man comes forth, and He goes forth into His rest. Praise God. He goes forth what? Into His rest. Because rest is only found when man discovers himself back in his right senses as Son of God. That is why Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all you who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." Those of you who are burdened, who are troubled, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He's telling, saying, ascend back into Christ consciousness. Ascend back into your true self, your true spiritual celestial self. Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. That rest and that peace that surpasses all understanding comes only as man awakens to the reality that he is the one that lives forever. Hallelujah. On the seventh day, the Bible says God rested. He rested. You know, historical accounts, some people say maybe God created this world after that He rested. Some people say God has rested. But we must understand that there remains a rest for every one of us. There remains a rest for any man out there who's still suffering the tribulation and the pain and the anguish of soul that this world has to offer. There is rest. There remains a rest. Praise God. And like Paul says, every man has to labor to enter his rest. And what do we labor in? Our labor is to believe. To believe this testimony from above. Our labor is to embrace the light and walk in the light while we have the light, so that we can become sons of light. our labor is to believe what we have heard, to mix it by with faith and walk into the reality of the perfection that we are, of the God that we are. Those sins have to be loosened in us. The sins that have hidden our identity, the sins that have hidden our light bodies, the sins that have hidden, you know, that realm of Eden from our sight. That seal has to be loosened so that man enters into his rest. Hallelujah. God rested on the seventh day. Do you know Adam in the Garden of Eden? It's a picture of God in his rest. Adam represents the image of God. When God says, "Let us create man in our image and likeness," that is Adam. When God says, "Let there be light," and he separated the darkness from the day, and God said, you know, do you know Adam was the day? Do you know Adam was the clouds, that is the waters above the firmament, the clouds of God, the clouds of heaven? Do you know Adam represents the morning star? He represents the stars of God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see here that Adam represents, but we're talking of Adam in glory here. Now we're not talking of Adam, the fallen Adam. You see, Adam who is asleep in the dust. Because we saw that Adam did not keep himself. Adam still went back to sleep in the dust. He went back to the ignorance of this world. Adam did not keep himself. See, and we know those of us who hear the truth, we are admonished to keep ourselves in the world. The Son of God keeps himself so that the wicked one does not touch him. This is what John says in the book of John. Is it First John? So he that is born of God keepeth himself so that the wicked one does not touch him. So that the wicked one does not influence him. So that the wicked one does not deceive him again. So he that is born of God keeps himself. In the incorruptible word, he keeps himself in the light. He keeps himself in the spirit. Praise God. Adam did not keep himself. Adam did not keep himself in the word of God. That is why he went back to sleep in the dust. Now all this is a parables. When you hear things like this, you have to apply to yourself and try to walk in the light and apply these things so that you can yield fruit unto God's glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Adam in the Garden of Eden is God in his rest. Hallelujah. When you awaken into the spirit realm, into God's kingdom, you will discover that there's nothing like a man there. It's called God's kingdom. It's God's word. There's nothing, everything there is God. There's only one man in that dimension, and that's the body of God, Christ. Praise God. Adam could be a billion people. Adam could be one person. It's innumerable. Incomprehensible with the natural mind. Praise God. Everybody that awakes into that image, that glorious image in the Garden of Eden. And that is your rest forever. Everything becomes beautiful. Hallelujah. Everything becomes wonderful. The torments, the fears, and everything that is associated with humanity comes to a grinding halt in that high level of consciousness that God is bringing his sons into. That is the only way by which you can find rest. Gathering money will not give you rest. It will not give you satisfaction. It will not give you peace. Making a good family, getting a good husband, and doing this thing that way or this way, or living well, eating healthy foods, eating only vegetables or not eating only, all those things will not give you that eternal life, that life without flaw, that life that evil cannot penetrate. Nothing you do as a man can give you that life. The only thing that can give that life is man's ability to awaken to truth. Nothing more. Oh, praise God. So it's the sealing, the unsealing of the substance of God in man is what will give man his peace and his rest. God is not going to add any other thing to what you already have. He's not going to remove anything from what you already have. He will only show you what you have. Praise God. The book of Revelation talks about seven seals. Seven seals which John the Apostle saw in the hand of him that was sitting on the throne. John the Apostle was taken up into heaven through a door into the spirit. And you know, after this, a series of events, a series of visions, all allegorical, of course, explaining the process by which the Son of God in you is unveiled. Praise God. Seven seals. And all these seven seals were opened one after the other. Praise God. The Bible spoke about a lamp that was in the midst of the throne. A lamp that looked as if it was slain. The lamp looked as if it was slain, but in reality it was not slain. The lamp of God was not slain, but it looked as if it was slain. We have to awaken to the reality that within every man there is a lamp of God. Within every man there is that Christ substance. For a moment it looks as if it is slain. For a moment it looks as if it is dead. For a moment, it looks as if it does not exist. But there has to be an awakening of that lamp within you to open the seals. Praise God. Very, very important to open the seals of that book that was in the hand of him that sat on the throne. Because if those seals are not opened, there is no way you can realize that you are the one who sits on the throne. Praise God. Talk quickly in the book of Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. I will not do much of reading today. Let's just read these little verses here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Hallelujah. And no man in heaven and on earth, underneath the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Praise God. And I wept so much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and on the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamp as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent unto the world, unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Hallelujah. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamp, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to open the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now let's stop there. We don't want to read too much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now you, all these are events happening within us individually. See, we better come to the place where we know that the throne of God is within us. See, we have to come to the place where we know that the lamp of God is within us. We have to know that those creatures around the throne are within us. You can see that all of them say that we have been redeemed from the earth by thy blood. All those around the throne say they have been redeemed from the earth. See, that which is being redeemed, we are all being redeemed consciously from the earth. Because we all, in the transgression, went down to the earth. And you know, we had our being in the earth. We lived as terrestrial creatures of the dust and all that kind of stuff. But thou hast redeemed us from the earth. The seven spirits of God are sent to redeem man from the earth and bring him back to his place in the celestial heights upon Zion. Praise God. Now, the opening of these seals must be done to bring every man back to that place upon Mount Zion, to sit on that throne with the Father. Every man must have these seals loosened in his life, because we are that book. The book has been sealed all along. See, the mystery of God has been locked up in this book. The mystery of God, what God is, who God is, everything that is God has been locked up in this book, sealed to our comprehension. But there has to be a stirring up by the Spirit within man, and as man begins to awake, he begins to take a hold of that book from him that seated upon the throne, and he opens his book. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go down to chapter 6. Now we see the lamp opening the seals one by one. All this goes from Genesis, from Revelation chapter 6 up to the book of Revelation chapter 8. One by one, the seals number 1 to 7 are all opened. We just read some of them. We cannot cover these things completely right now. I have to wait on the Lord before I can bring out a message on the seven seals, to have an idea what the seven seals, but I'll just drop a nugget now. little nugget, food for thought. We just read briefly, just browse through them. We can't read everything right now. So we'll just end up with the seventh seal, which is in Revelation chapter 8. But we just kind of, first of all, just read the first few seals in Revelation chapter 6 from verse 1. It says, "And I saw when the lamp opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the great four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, I beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal," that's the second seal of the book, the lamp opens the second seal, "I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" Now you can see that the beasts are saying, "Come and see." Now those beasts are those four beasts that were around the throne. The first beast is the lion, I think. Let me go back to you. See that the first beast there was the, where is it? Coming. The first big beast was the lion, yes. And the second beast was the second beast was the calf. The third beast was the had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So each of the individual beasts is saying, "Come and see what is happening to me." You can see the redemption work that is being done within man, because all these things are within man. Praise God. Let's quickly go to Revelation chapter, continue from Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. "And I opened the second seal, and I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was blue, that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hot not the oil and the wine.' When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. Death and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto him, unto them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." Praise God. So you can see here that these first four seals have something to do with those four creatures who were incidentally upon the earth. Notice that all those events happen to those who are upon the earth. Those who are upon the earth mean that those who are upon the dust, those who are terrestrial, those who live in carnality. Praise God. As these seals are opened, that which is terrestrial is put to death. That which is terrestrial is destroyed, is conquered. Praise God. The carnal mind, the emotions, the everything, every faculty in man that is aligned with mortality has to give way. as the seals are opened. Praise God. So you can see as the seals are opened, there is a redemption work taking place. There's an elevation in consciousness, awareness. You see, to put the body to death, to put the man of sin or the natural man to death, does not occur by fasting or denying yourself food or trying to be religious. See, we put to death our mortal body by the Spirit. Our body is put to death by the Spirit. It's by the revelation, the illumination of the Spirit, the illumining of the natural mind that puts to death our members upon the earth. The members upon the earth have to die and be quickened by the Spirit and taken back up into the Spirit. Incidentally, if you look through the Bible, if you see the cherubims of God that appeared in the past, they always had these four faces of these creatures that we see in the book of Revelation. When Ezekiel saw the Lord, he was surrounded by these cherubims with four faces. These same cherubims that had four faces, like the ox, like the eagle, the face of a man, the face of a lion. Individually, all of us carry those faces. See, but we have to be converted from being terrestrial creatures. Everything in man has to become subject to that of the Spirit, to the Spirit. Come under subjection of the Spirit before we can live. So the more we hear, the more we align ourselves to the word of truth, the more we are lifted up from the earth. Praise God. The more we become more aware of our true bodies, our true spiritual selves, our true natures. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to jump on the other series. We don't have time for that. Praise God. We said that the unsealing of the book is the unsealing of your true personality, which is God. See, we are all that one spirit with God. If this thing sounds strange to us, it's simply because we are in darkness. See, if this thing sounds strange to us, simply because the devil had robbed us of this knowledge. The robber had robbed us of this sacred knowledge, which is coming to us again by the grace of God. Praise God. Let's move on. Revelation chapter 8, the seven seals open. And when you had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That is all. That is how it ends. Now when the seventh seal is opened, there was silence in heaven. On the seventh day, God what? Rested from all his works. There was silence in heaven. There was stillness in heaven. Praise God. How many of us want stillness? How many of us want quietness? Praise God. Quietness will not come by winning your legal battles. Quietness will not come by, you know, grabbing much money in the bank and keeping it aside for a rainy day. Your quietness will not come by ensuring your life after retirement. Quietness comes with the unsealing of the personality that is within you. Praise God. Quietness comes in knowing that I am God. Silence in heaven is a state of absolute dominion, where everything is subject, brought under your spiritual faculties, which is Christ. No more worries, no more fears. Fear of death. What will happen? Nothing. Nothing, nothing like that. You simply are, from eternity to eternity. That is the pinnacle of Zion. That is the rest of God. No more turbulence. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah says, the lion will eat straw like the ox. The baby will play with the serpent. The leopard with the goats. And there shall be no hurting, no more hurting. No hurting, nothing shall destroy or hurt on my holy mountain. It's a place of perfect stillness. Bliss. Streams of living water, gladness of heart. Where you simply just live. Because I am the life. I am the resurrection. Besides me, there is no other. That is the consciousness that every man awakes to as those seals are loosened. The ultimate place is stillness. You sit and you rule in stillness. Nothing to struggle for. Nothing to seek to gain, because all things are yours. You simply reign in life. Praise God. Come quickly to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Hallelujah. And you will not. But you said, no, we will flee upon horses, and therefore shall you flee. I will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they pursue you. They that pursue you, be swift. Now let's stop there. I just want us to understand what the Spirit is saying here in Isaiah chapter 30. He's saying here that the only way a man can find quietness and peace is to return to his state in God. You don't return to the Lord somewhere in the sky, but you return back to the Lord by awakening back into the reality of the Lord that you truly are. Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Those of you who seek rest, and I'll give you rest for your souls. He says, you will not come unto me that you may have life. We come unto him by sending him. There's no Jesus out there. It's in you. It's you who you are. Awaken to the Lord in you. Awaken from mortal living, from carnality, and you will discover a life of bliss. Praise God. See, if we seek solace, protection, covering through the works of men, by gathering, by achieving things in this world, by dividing things from the carnal mind, let us bear in mind that it will never work. Quietness, assurance, peace comes only as those seals are unloosed in man, and man rediscovers the Son of God in him. This is what we see in Genesis chapter 1 and in the book of Revelation. Is the unveiling, the unseeming of Christ in you. This is the only gospel that is, this is the only way to life. Nothingness can cause man to enter into that, era of absolute peace and dominion. You just have to awaken to this truth, mix with faith what you've heard, and walk by it.